From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, North Texas is the backdrop for StoryCorps starting next week. Hear from one of the project's founders as well as high schoolers getting in some early interview practice. First, to some significant changes to the way adults learn English in Texas. For four decades, they've turned to Texas public schools. That will change next summer. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, the shift is causing confusion and concern for some, while some officials welcome it.
Cool.
Cool.
Repeat.
Cool.
Cool.
The next one.
Foggy.
Foggy.
Foggy. Foggy.
Neblina, right?
Outside what used to be Fannin Elementary School in Dallas, it's a rainy fall afternoon. Inside, adult education teacher Jorge Saucedo runs through a lesson about weather with his Spanish-speaking students. They're enrolled in the free ESL class, English as a Second Language. Saucedo wonders if he and seven other teachers will still be here or even have jobs a year from now.
Of course, anytime there's a change, you know, you're gonna feel a little concerned. But of course, there's always a concern on my part, yes, and some of the other teachers.
A year and a half ago, state lawmakers shifted $73 million adult education dollars from the Texas Education Agency, where it had been for 40 years, to the Texas Workforce Commission. To Lori Larea, that made sense. She runs Workforce Solutions of Dallas, a jobs and education program.
It was a realization that perhaps TEA was a misplacement of the money. People are saying, was it really education money or is it workforce money?
With ESL funded through the education agency, Larea says many adults never learned they could take English classes unless they had a child in school.
Our focus is going to be ESL in the workforce, and there's a huge number of people who suffer low pay, stagnant job, because they can't get their language skills up, particularly in their own industry.
Larea says thanks to an agreement between the Workforce Commission and Dallas Schools, teachers and classes will stay in place for the next 7 months. But after that, it's unclear where 2,000 adults in Dallas ESL classes will go. Marina Valdez is one of them.
I don't have a job. I am nurse in Mexico, but here I need English.
Taking classes at Fannin is manageable for the 30-year-old nurse who's lived in Dallas for 2 years.
Here is good for me because I don't have car and I come into the school walking.
So if the class changes to someplace else?
Maybe I don't can go.
Another big question? Must students show a Social Security card or legal documentation, which the Workforce Commission requires? Dallas City Councilman Adam Medrano, who used to be on the school board, says that rumor is making the rounds among ESL students. Many of them lack documentation.
To me, that's not good for us, because that's all of our students. I don't know what percentage, but most of them probably do not have a social.
Lori Larea says funding will continue to pay for some adult learners with or without documentation. But details on getting that word out, on whether classes will move or who will teach and for what pay, all remain unanswered. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Listen in tomorrow morning for our new series, Generation One, a look at first-generation immigrants and the educators trying to weave them into the American tapestry. Today in Denton, Texas Woman's University inaugurated its new leader. Corrine Faiton took over as chancellor and president in July. She wants TW to nurture pioneers in a world that's a little volatile. She wants the university to be known by women everywhere.
Women of every race, faith, nationality, political view, and socioeconomic status. A place where they will be embraced for who they are, where they will feel safe and supported, and where they can realize their potential to becoming leaders in this dynamic state.
20 years after the school went fully co-ed, almost 90% of TWU's students are women. North Texas gets a chance to tell its story next week when StoryCorps' Silver Trailer rolls into town. The Oral History Project lets ordinary Americans interview each other. A few kids at Polytechnic High, a school in a tough Fort Worth neighborhood, got a similar opportunity. As part of the KERA Yearbook Project, Diana Douglas asked them to interview a family member. Here is a sampling.
Polytechnic students wrote out their questions ahead of time so they wouldn't freeze up during the interview. Here are highlights from two of these chats, starting with senior Moesha Taylor and her mom, Mildred.
What is the worst thing that happened to you?
Oh, the worst thing had happened to me. Losing a baby.
Why you love me so much and why?
Because I love kids. I need a part of me on this earth that I would love to treasure.
Did you plan to have kids and why?
Well, no, I didn't plan to have my kids, but I'm glad I did.
What do you like to eat and why?
Oh, I'm a fat woman. I like to eat everything. Greens and cornbread. Oh, red beans. And turkey.
Can I have a tattoo when I turn 18?
No, you cannot.
And why not?
As you at my house, that'd be fine on your own time.
Okay. So, Dad, what was life like growing up as a kid?
It was great. We play outside lots and we had a lot of freedom. Well, I wish I had my mother and father when I was growing up, because now I see that my kids, they have their mother and father, and they can talk about things that I didn't have opportunity to talk when I was growing up.
If you could go back and tell your younger self something to improve who you are now, what would it be?
Well, I would starve. I should learn more about school than I know now. And I would went to college. And be a whole lot different lifestyle I have today.
That was senior Ashley Black and her dad, Vincent, and Moesha Taylor and her mom. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
Today on Think, StoryCorps founder Dave Isay talked to Chris Boyd about how he got to know his dad through a StoryCorps-style interview.
Part of the story of how StoryCorps came to be is that when I was in my 20s, I found out that my dad was gay, and it was a big surprise for me. When I found this out, I was 22 years old. I had just gotten into radio, and I used my microphone to like learn about a world I didn't know anything about, and did an oral history of the Stonewall Riots, which started the modern LGBT movement. It was mostly transgender, transvestite kids who fought against the police when they were being evicted from a bar, finally, after all these years, and met some of the most courageous, amazing people I'd ever met, and again, used the microphone to like learn about who my dad was, and it changed my relationship with my dad completely. You know, the night he died, it was the first time I ever listened to it at 3 a.m. And that's when the rubber really hit the road for me, because I was listening to this person who was, along with my mom, you know, one of the most important people in my life, and realizing this was the only way my two kids were going to get to know him, and the importance of the fact that we had done this interview.
The StoryCorps mobile booth will be parked at the AT&T Performing Arts Center for a month beginning next Thursday, November 20th. The next round of reservations opens November 21st. The Think interview with Dave Isay re-airs tonight at 9, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. And tonight it should be mostly clear with a cool low around 46. Now, early tomorrow morning brings in a strong cold front that'll stick around for a few days and usher in a cool high of around 48 tomorrow. Otherwise, tomorrow night it should be clear with a low around 33. It's currently 73 degrees in Dallas, 75 in Fort Worth, 69 in Tyler, and 74 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.